sing pretty good this morning. Yeah, good hymns, good stuff as we seem to still want to celebrate the birth of Jesus, which we should all year. So the title of today's message is A Work in Progress. The series that we're going to go into is going to come out of 1 Corinthians. It's a series that I wrote at New Journey and Morris Chapel, but I didn't get to complete. And I wasn't sure, in a lot of prayer, was this where we should go in my teaching here. But I think we can start and look and see how it goes. But the title, The Good News for the Not So Good, you'll figure that out in a minute, what I mean, who Paul's talking to. But let's look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother, Chathanes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a wonderful passage. But I'm going to deviate from that a minute, and I'm going to talk about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And I'm sure you've seen that tower. I got a sigh out of that one, didn't I, right? You've seen that tower, at least in pictures. And if you've ever spent any time on Facebook, you know, you've seen a picture of someone standing in front of it or laying on it and holding it up with their leg with their arm extended, and the depth of the angle makes it appear as if they're holding it in place. The tower is located in Pisa, Italy. For centuries, it was assumed that it was designed by the 12th century architect, all right, Bono Pisano. In recent years, there is speculation that the building was designed by an architect named Dudi Salvia. Yeah, exactly. Dudi Salvai. Whoever designed it, you can be sure, I mean, absolutely positive, the leaning aspect of this tower was not included in the original blueprint and plans. It was intended to stand straight. It's interesting to note that the original designer, whoever it was, did not live to see the completion of the tower. That's because from the day it broke ground to the ribbon-cutting ceremony, it took a total of 199 years to build that tower. It's amazing that it took so long when you consider how long it takes or it took to build other historical sites, right? The Roman Colosseums, for instance, were built in 10 years. That's the next slide. The Great Pyramid of Giza, it took 20 years. Buckingham Palace took 23 years. It's surprising that a building that doesn't quite stand up straight took 199 years to complete. What's a work in progress? You know, it truly is a work in progress that this building would take 199 years to build. Imagine the number of laborers who spent their entire lives on this project and never saw it come anywhere near to completion. And you may wonder how many of them stopped at some point and said, is it my imagination, or does it seem to be just leaning a little bit? I find the leaning aspect of the tower fascinating. And that's and that's because it's still standing after all these years. And according to the experts, it's not expected to fall. But what I really find fascinating is the 199-year part. The work in progress, right? No doubt you've seen it at some time in your life. On your daily drive to work or commute, a building under construction, and you started thinking, oh, look, there's a new building. I wonder what it will be. Every day you can see more progress as you drive by being made. The frame goes up, you know, the foundation, the wall and the framing and the windows and the exterior gets to complete and wrapped. And sure enough, with these busy bees all around this building, the workers, in a month or so later, it is a grand opening of the new dollar store. You may have seen a house go up quickly like that, or a new whatever you have. It goes up so quickly that, you know, often in a matter of weeks, it's easy to observe the steady progress that's happening. However, when a building takes 199 years to complete, you can go decades without seeing any measurable change. But if you keep at it, eventually you might just have a building that is classified as a classic, a historical marker. Here's my point. Spiritual growth, the process of becoming holy, the process of becoming more like Jesus, it's more like the construction of the Leaning Tower of Pisa than it is like the construction of the local dollar store. It doesn't happen quite as quickly as we would like it to happen. In fact, sometimes it seems to be a work that will never be done. Self-help writer Regina Brett has referred to people who are a work in progress without the progress. We've all known some who qualify, I suppose, and to be honest, I've felt that way a time or two. Kathy says the label fits me. We don't always see the spiritual progress in our lives as often as we would like to see it. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I have good news for you, right? The building will be completed. It will pass inspection, and it will last forever. Today we'll look at a passage of scripture that I just read that talks about this very idea. It's the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, right? Today I'm going to begin this series in which we'll study this letter. It's the second longest letter of the New Testament. Romans is just slightly longer. If Paul titled his letters, he might title this one "The Good News for the Not So Good." We'll see why in the weeks to come. 1 Corinthians was written somewhere around 55, give or take a year or two. It was written to the church, which was actually a network of house churches in a sophisticated seaport city of Corinth. Corinth was a key city in terms of commerce and tourism of the day. It was notable as a city filled with idolatry and in anything that goes approach to morality. This worldly attitude sometimes found its way into the church and created no small amount of problems for the believers there. In the weeks to come, we'll see that the church in Corinth was, in some ways, a church in disarray. A church in need of leadership and correction, and at times, and this is what we'll work our way through, Paul will speak to them rather harshly, right? A shape up or ship out kind of ultimatum or in a manner, and at other times he will speak to them very gently with great encouragement and great optimism. That's because this body of believers, right, this church in Corinth, who at times may have seemed not so good, were still God's people, bought with a price and heirs to the promise, just like we are. Today, we may not deal with the same issues that plagued the church in Corinth, but we've not yet attained perfection. Not as a church, not as individuals. We're still a work in progress. So Paul's words to the church in Corinthian, right, will apply to us today in the Corinthian, you know, this church in Corinth to the Corinthians. And we're going to take a look at these verses just a little bit closer. And I want us to see, of course, three aspects of work in progress that God is doing in your life and mine. And the first one is, you have been given the holiness you don't yet have. Paul's letter begins by saying, in verse 2, those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. The word sanctified, it's really a good Wesleyan word. Right? It means set apart for a special purpose. Or you could say made holy for a special purpose. Our special purpose, according to Paul, is that we become holy, that we become like Christ. We have been set apart that we might become who we were meant to be. I want you to see this distinction. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, that God, the God of peace will sanctify you completely. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, we have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Both are true. We have been sanctified in word so that we may become sanctified in deed. We are set apart at salvation so that as we live our Christian life as followers of Jesus, we might become more like Jesus. To say that he's given us holiness we don't yet have is like saying he's given us a title we haven't yet attained. Imagine calling someone the heavyweight boxing champion of the world before they've ever set one foot in the boxing ring. Imagine naming a student as the senior class valedictorian on their first day of kindergarten. God has made you holy by his word so that you may become holy in all that you do. But let's not forget that becoming holy, it's a process, right? And you're a work in process. I'm a work in process, right? And sometimes some of us might not live up to the calling that we have been given. I know that I've been in that category a few times in my life. Think of Charles III, right? King Charles, right? The monarch of England. We've always known him as Prince Charles. The heir apparent to the throne that didn't change even when he didn't act quite so kingly. He was still destined to be the king that he has become. God has a calling on your life, a calling that is without revocation. Romans 11:29, he won't take it back. He won't change his mind. He called you to be holy, and he will make you holy. As a preacher friend of mine often says, God will make you holy even if he has to drag you kicking and screaming all the way. So keep this in mind. Even though you haven't quite attained the title you've been given, remember that you are a work in progress. God is not finished with you yet. To get there, here's the second idea that I want you to see, right? You have been given all the gifts that you will ever need. And they will come to you at the right time when you need them. Verse 5, in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge. Verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus. Later in chapter 12, Paul will detail, right, how every believer is given at least one spiritual gift. At least one. And often more than one. In fact, you will be given whatever you need when you need it. This is what Paul says in Philippians 4. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That's 4:19. I have always assumed that this refers primarily to our material needs. Our material needs can be included, of course, but this verse refers to so much more. This is the promise that if you will allow God to give you whatever you need in the moment you need it, he'll give you the strength you need, the courage that you need, determination that you need, the grace that you need, and the mercy that you need. Whatever God has called you to do, he will equip you and empower you to do it. Maybe sometimes you've been tempted to say something like, you know, and I've been tempted to say it, I'm not sure I have what it takes to do what God is leading me to do. I'm not sure I have what it takes to be the person God intends me to be. But you do have what it takes. Not in your own strength, but in God's strength, in God's power that is at work in each of you. Listen to what was said to the church in Philippi. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And that's Philippians 2:13. The verse is saying that God gives you the desire to do good and gives you the ability to do good. All the gifts you need to live a holy life are already yours in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted the believers in Corinth to understand, even though at the moment there was a bit of a disconnect between their calling, right, and their current condition that as to who they were. They were still a work in progress, just like we are. The process, it may be taking longer than you would like, which brings me to the third truth that I want you to see today. You have been the victory that you can't yet see. You have been the victory you can't yet see. Think of the process involved in building this Leaning Tower of Pisa. Construction begins in August 1173, you know, when the foundation is laid. Now zoom forward 100 years to 1273, and the building isn't finished. In fact, it's barely halfway done, and it looks like it will never be completed. But just wait. It will be completed, and when it is completed, it will be magnificent. As Jesus' ministry on earth came to close, if you put yourself in the shoes of the disciples and walking like Jesus, you know, things truly seem to unravel for Christ and this band of unschooled ruffians, per se, right, that followed Jesus around. He became a political and a religious target. And every effort was made to sabotage the work he was doing and turn the tide of the public opinion against him. He was betrayed by a friend, then arrested, beaten, ridiculed, abandoned by nearly all the people that followed him. And as he was led to his death, he did not seem to be in that moment like a conquering hero. He didn't appear to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He seemed to be a misguided martyr. Nothing could be further from the truth. because it had already been determined. Even before the foundation of the world, that the grave could not contain him, that he would rise victorious over sin and death, and he would reign forever and ever. His was a victory that could not yet be seen, but it was as real could be. And I want you to know that his victory has paved the way for your victory. Today you may feel that you will never get there, but I want you to know that God has given you a victory you can't yet see. And he will bring his work in your life to completion. This is why Paul said these words in verse 8. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of Christ. This phrase, strong to the end, means that he will sustain you. God will sustain you. God will empower you. When he needs to, God will carry you. As Paul said to the church in Philippi, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. Your potential to become great in God's kingdom may not be obvious to others or even to yourself, but God sees it because God put it there and he plans to make it happen. Even when he sometimes has to drag you kicking and screaming along the way. God will finish what he began in you, even if it seems to take forever. The Leaning Tower of Pisa took 199 years to complete. It wasn't long before what someone has seen during the construction process became obvious to all people looking at it. It was leaning a full 5 degrees. It looked like it could fall at any moment. This vulnerability, right? It reminds me of something Paul would say later to the same church, right, in Corinth, in the Corinthian church, that is not in his first letter, right, but in his second letter to them. In 2 Corinthians 12, he's talking about some of trials that he has faced. He quotes Christ as saying to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." 2 Corinthians 12:9. The leaning aspect of the Tower of Pisa could be considered a defect, right? But it could also be considered an architectural masterpiece, a miracle. A leaning building should fall. But this one hasn't. And according to experts, it won't. The tilt has become instead the very, very fascinating feature of this building. Now, you and me, we lean a little bit. We're not all that level. In fact, we could quite easily be susceptible to a fall. Except for the architectural miracle of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, he has sanctified you and set you apart and called you holy and is making you holy. He has given you the gifts you need to become the person he has made you to be. And he has every intention of finishing that work that he began. We may lean a little bit, but when we yield ourselves fully to Jesus, he is sure to sustain us. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. You are a work in progress. I am a work in progress. The progress may not always be observable by the outside world, right? But the progress is being made. That's God's promise. You can be sure that he will finish the work that he began in you, and you will stand strong for eternity to come. And my friends, all we can do is say, thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Amen.